The following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 53 for Monday, July 26, 2010, A Love-Hate Relationship. Hi, everybody.
Somehow I think that title pretty much signifies our relationship.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone should have heard us on Mushroom FM. Well, I'm glad you probably didn't. Doing a test the other night. God, we sounded nasty towards each other. Oh, it was terrible.
She wants help with figuring out the computer
problem.
But he's
in my face, pulling on wires, doing things I don't know what he's doing, leaning over me. Just, God, it drove me insane.
Well, you can call the Geek Squad if you would like to.
Oh, up yours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
Don't go any farther because we'll lose our clean rating.
Exactly. We are here to talk about, well, lots of little things.
Yes, lots of little things. Shouldn't take but about 5 minutes of your time, give or take 30.
Yeah, well, we have started something that shouldn't take but 5 minutes of your time. We have started a daily tips feed. Those of you who subscribe should already have noticed, if you want to subscribe to that feed, that the two tips, first two, have already gone out.
Well, the first tip. Well, yeah, there
first
was
two are
intro
already
that went out last week for a couple of days.
And then
the first actual official tip
went
came out
today.
This morning.
We are working hard to make these short, sweet, simple tips, tricks, and tidbits for your computer and high-tech world.
So you can visit the website, techaccessweekly.com, to subscribe. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to bit.ly/TADaily, and that'll take you directly to the feed for subscription.
And we'll say that some of these, at least in the first part, will probably be about the iPhone, since I'm starting to learn the iPhone. A lot of these are in the forefront of my head, and I feel like other people would like to know about them if they're wanting to purchase an iPhone in the future. I think I've converted my mother, which I thought was impossible. But anyway, a good many will be about using the computer and other little programs that might make your life easier. These are not demos or tutorials or the like I have done before. These are short, sweet, simple as that kinds of deals.
Yeah, because we keep finding that we come up with little tricks and things, and then you mention it on a list or something, and people go, oh, really?
And then I see things that I'll see them on Twitter or something and go, really? Oh, how cool. And so in order to keep that in my head and not forget it, it's easiest to put it down somewhere else where other people will know about it.
So we're planning for these to come out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, not 7 days a week. We might go insane with that.
Probably. I know I would because I do most of them.
I figure they'll cover anything from iPhone to Windows 7, JAWS, Kurzweil, and the such. Things that we have around here along with who knows what, maybe even cooking tips.
Who knows? Cooking? Okay.
I don't know.
Who knows?
It could be anything. There could be easily a gadget out there that we run across and say, ooh, people might like this.
Yeah, gadgets will be up for grabs too. Small. Simple things.
But we do have the idea of doing demonstrations as well, but we'll create another feed for that at some point in the future.
Yeah. We'll see how this one goes.
I think you need to redo your Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm so not looking forward to that.
That could take at least 6 months to do that, and then Facebook will change it yet again.
We'll have more to say on Facebook later on in the program. Let's get started.
All right. We'll start out with some various security news and such. Also want to make a slight correction from a couple weeks ago. Had reported on the fact that Windows XP was still going to be supported by Microsoft in terms of allowing people to downgrade their systems to Windows XP. I had said that it was 2014 because a couple of articles said 2014, and you figure two articles equals confirmed.
Correct at some point.
And in actuality, it is 2020.
2020?
Yes, 2020.
Jeez.
So Windows XP is going to last 20 years.
Oh.
In terms of people being able to downgrade in some instances. I guess it would count as far as like businesses and such.
Right.
Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there because everyone can go, So anyway, I will move along into security. Last week, we had talked about the link icon issue that was coming out or that actually exists in Windows since the very inception of Windows, probably all the way back to 95 and 98 even. It's a nasty little problem where icon files can be put on a flash drive, and when the flash drive is accessed, a virus can be installed on your PC. You can also view directories that have these on your regular computer, like if you downloaded something, and it will cause the same issue. Microsoft released sort of a little bitty patch last week, apparently on Thursday. I hadn't really found a write-up that really described what that fixed. If you are still paranoid, you can go to Microsoft and search for KB228618, and that will take you to a support page that actually describes the situation, and it even has their little Microsoft Fix-It button. The Fix-It button will update your computer registry to protect you against it. It'll basically disable all of your icons on your screen.
I see.
So if you're a blind user and using a screen reader, you probably wouldn't even notice if you did that, but someone that's used to the pretty icons
might. Speaking of viruses, the American Printing House for the Blind recently mailed and or gave out CDs containing catalogs and software demonstrations. They mailed them out, and they gave them out at NFB and ACB 10 here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but nobody went to that.
Well, it turns out these discs have viruses on them. Brilliant! It is the Win32 Prolacovirus, something like that. Anyway, I know I've heard it before, and I know it's been around and on other things, too. But anyways, these discs had this brilliant virus on them, and it's linked specifically to a virtual demonstration of Windows XP. Windows XP? So anyway, if you click on the executable for that demo, it will put the virus on your computer, and the virus will attach itself to your outgoing email attachments and other little nasty things and get you infected and could possibly hang around for a while without you knowing about it while it sends itself out to other people and integrates nastily into your system.
I mean, these kind of things aren't really that uncommon because other conventions, I believe CES, Consumer Electronics Show a couple
there was
years
one,
ago had
yeah.
one.
It's not uncommon, but I figured I should report it because if you have this disc, you might want to pitch it and request another copy. So anyway, it's attached to that specific file. So if you don't even want to worry with that file, you can use the other files on the disk or copy them to your computer without a problem. If you want, though, you can always ask them for another copy and they'll be happy to supply it. If you're worried that you may be infected with the virus, please scan your computer. You can do that, obviously, by using Windows Security Essentials. That will definitely detect it. And most common antivirus programs will detect that virus.
And I believe certain websites like Nod32 also has a free scan that you can do on their website as well.
And AVG has a free version
that
will have it. So and, of course, Symantec stuff that we have.
Yeah, definitely something to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
In other security issues, Citigroup, which does an application for the iPhone where customers are able to log on to bank websites and applications, have noticed that they had a security flaw in this iPhone app, and they are requesting that folks download an updated application to their iPhone. Apparently, it was sharing more information and personal data in the clear than it was supposed to.
Oopsie.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a bad thing. So even though you were using your iPhone, you were just about like anyone else sitting at a coffee shop spewing bits all over the place.
Oh, coffee shop. Speaking of iPhone apps.
Hey, you have Folgers. You can deal with it.
Ugh. Speaking of the coffee at the restaurant yesterday was better than Folgers.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, went out to breakfast. Seattle's best organic coffee.
I didn't think it was as good as S&D, but...
To me, they taste about the same.
Maybe.
Anyway, coffee aside, speaking of
This has been your coffee break on Tech Access Weekly.
yeah. We're hopeless.
Anyway.
Speaking of iPhone apps, Apple has started the iPhone free case program.
Yes, this rolled out on...
Was it Friday of last week?
Friday, July 23rd.
Yes. And it requires an app be installed on your iPhone.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been complaining about the fact that you have to download it, but it's really convenient. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It will allow you to pick between a couple of different cases. There's a couple of in-case. I think there's an iFrogs case that you can get as well. And you can also get the bumper.
Right.
The only issue is that you don't really get to choose the fancy little colors. The iPhone bumper is the black one, and most of the other cases available are black or clear, mm-hmm. as far as like being snap cases.
Are the other cases free too?
Yeah. There's six that you can choose from, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So I took your cell phone, downloaded the app. Mm-hmm. Went through the process, selected the bumper, because, mm-hmm. well, why not just get the bumper?
I mean, our cases will arrive at some point.
Yes, we ordered cases from Marware, but they were in such high demand, they have been back-ordered, and no word yet as to when they will come.
I don't even know what they look like. I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, you will.
Anyway.
You'll love it. I know. Anyway, if you go to the App Store on your iPhone, you will need to search for iPhone 4, no space in that. Mm-hmm. I kept trying to search for iPhone space 4 space case pro space program,
mm-hmm.
But it never would come up with it. So it's iPhone, iPhone 4 space case, case space program. PROGRAM.
Mm-hmm. Program. You'll love it. I know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you find that, you can download it. Very simple. Only one case per iPhone. So mm-hmm. once you do it, and if you go back into the application, it'll say, sorry, you've already purchased one for this iPhone. So mm-hmm. It calls home, gives Apple all the information, and boom. I guess it's a very easy way for them to actually process the transactions instead of having you go to their website.
AT&T has reported, this is yet another iPhone story, AT&T has reported that 3.2 million iPhones were activated in this past quarter alone.
Yeah, and that's 3GS and
4. iPhone 4.
So.
And 27% of the activations were new customers to AT&T.
And a lot of those were actually moving to iPhone 4 for the first time, like we did.
Except we're not new AT&T customers.
No, we were previous AT&T customers, and we chose the definitive choice for visually impaired folks. I keep trying to egg her on people, and I just can't get it.
Nope. Anyway, so we thought that's a little interesting factoid to report that despite the iPhone antenna troubles, they're still being purchased.
Yes, and apparently there is a Band-Aid that you can get the Etsy website. A guy did it sort of as a joke, created like 1,000 of them. It's just a tiny little colorful Band-Aid that you can put over that spot on the bottom left corner of your iPhone. And I think he's selling them for like $5 for a pack of 6 or something like that. And he's sold out, and the demand is like ridiculous for them. But in other AT&T news, their network has always been maligned because of the iPhone killing service and such. What they are going to do to combat some of this is try and roll out some more urban hotspots. They are going to roll these out in Chicago and Charlotte, North Carolina in the near coming weeks.
Yeah, apparently they've had good results with the New York City and the one they've rolled out in Times Square.
Exactly.
So they're trying to get this in other cities. Hopefully it will alleviate some of the pressure on their network.
Yeah. So there's an article out there on our delicious bookmarks. If you are interested, it gives actually what streets it will cover mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In other cell phone news, the Droid X came out last week or the week before, was it? It's one of those. Everyone has been very excited about it, and apparently the Verizon network here in the States has seen an increase of traffic on their data network.
Mm-hmm.
5 times the usual use just by Droid X users.
Is this something special to Droid X? I mean, does it have some kind of special streaming ability or something that all of a sudden people would be?
It's just a Android phone that came out. It has like almost a 4.5-inch screen, and mm-hmm. it's very vibrant, got a lot of functionality, and people are just clamoring for it. They sold out in one or two days, mm-hmm. and people cannot get them.
Wow.
At this point.
Wow.
So Verizon is actually getting a taste of the iPhone madness.
Yes, with the Droid X.
But I don't believe they have sold as many as the iPhone. You
right.
know, the 1.7 million in
Apple
3 days.
Anticipated a high demand, and probably Motorola, you know, maybe didn't.
Yeah.
So.
But HTC, who makes some of the Droid and Android phones, are going to have to change their screens. They've been using a high contrast OLED screen. For all of their phones, like the Nexus 1 mm-hmm. and the Droid and such. But they're going to have to go to an SLCD screen, which is a little bit less resolution, but they say that users probably will not even notice a difference
mm-hmm.
in that because of a shortage in OLEDs.
Wow. Okay.
That's coming out on everything, but it's still not quite the resolution of the Retina mm-hmm. display on the iPhone. And I took video in a moving car this weekend going mm-hmm. through our neighborhood here. And the video is pretty impressive for driving in a moving car and picking up the colors and everything.
Yeah, my dad thought it was pretty cool, too. And just a little bitty phone can do all that. That is so amazing.
Exactly. And now we can move
new capability of the little bitty phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, capability, I don't know if that's quite the right word, but a federal judge has made a ruling that jailbreaking an iPhone does not violate the DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, here in the U.S.
Was it a judge or the Library of Congress made the ruling?
I don't know. There is a governmental ruling of some sort. By whom? I'm not sure, because the next one actually is the Library of Congress, but I'm not sure about this one.
Well, I guess it was a dispute between the Library of Congress and the EFF and Apple, along with other companies.
Right.
And they have ruled that it is okay for jailbreaking of the phone,
mm-hmm.
but they do not say whether or not it is legal.
Legal.
But it does not violate copyright.
Yeah. Let's clarify that a little bit. It may not violate copyright, but it may violate other legal stuff like Apple's contract with the end user. You know, there may be some warranty violations or other contractual violations, and that hasn't been ruled on yet. It is only the copyright that has been ruled on at this point, the copyright aspect of it.
Yeah, so a lot of things are going out mm-hmm. on Twitter saying, oh, it's legal to
exactly.
jailbreak your iPhone, but technically
it may not be legal because not all things have been considered about that. I mean, jailbreaking can apply copyright, contract. There are some other things. So they have only ruled on the copyright portion.
Now, if you haven't heard the term jailbreaking, that means that you put firmware on your iPhone and it will unlock the phone. You can also mm-hmm. do that on Android phones as well. They call it rooting
mm-hmm.
So that you can get to the internal controls of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
For iPhone users, it sort of opens it up so that you can get to... you can put on your own third-party apps that aren't
right.
allowed through the Apple iTunes store.
Mm-hmm.
So people do that. I don't really see a need in it. I hear more people say that it
causes problems.
Yeah, it causes instability in the way the phone actually works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really advised, but you can do it. A lot of podcasters and news organizations like to do it because there's a couple of applications that will actually take screen prints and videos from within the phone.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that they can actually get crisp pictures mm-hmm. just like you're on the phone. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't know.
Other news about the DMCA. The Library of Congress has declared, the head librarian of the Library of Congress has declared that it is indeed okay for screen readers to read aloud parts of electronic books as long as the publisher has not made other accessible accommodations. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this what we've been doing all our lives here? I mean, I'm talking about me, particularly, reading parts of books with a screen reader, Jaws or Kurzweil, scanning the books with Kurzweil, that goes beyond even just reading them. But let's consider the reading from this point. If I read something, a book with Jaws, that hasn't been legal? I'm a little confused.
Well, the way it was always explained to me back in the day was the fact that, okay, you purchased the book. Mm-hmm. So if you purchase the book, then you own it and you can reproduce it for, I guess, fair use purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like a library book, you shouldn't technically be scanning it and having a screen reader read it.
Yeah, I guess I could have been taken into court for the past 10 years for doing stuff like that.
So much for that law degree.
Oh, well. Yeah, so anyway, that is now a legal thing, and that's good. They're making steps in the right direction, so that's fantastic for that. I applaud them for doing that. Let's see.
And today is the anniversary, apparently,
of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah.
And the Department of Justice is considering several aspects of several laws relating to the ADA, and these include electronic communications, the accessibility of websites, closed captioning issues, the accessibility of furniture in public accommodations. That was kind of interesting. And a couple of other things. And they are inviting public comment up through the end of January of 2011 on these issues. If you go to ada.gov, you can find the registered fact sheets and things that you would need to read before making your comments. And you can post them online or you can mail them in. But go to ada.gov for more information on that.
Yes, I was just watching Twitter and someone had pointed out that whitehouse.gov/live was showing an ADA celebration on their website, which is kind of impressive because it is actually HTML5. You can stream it on your cell phone. I was actually able to get it to work on the iPhone. So that's something to check out if you're interested in government presentations mm-hmm. or press conferences and the such.
Mm-hmm.
And talking of presentations online
and streaming,
Netflix has hit 15, what did
million.
I say? Million customers.
Yeah, and they're in Canada now too, which makes the customer base grow even more.
Yeah, and there's a large portion of those 15 million that are actually streaming instead of using the disc service. Yep. In Canada, last week, they released Netflix to Canada, but it does not include mail delivery of CDs.
Right,
or DVDs.
It only includes streaming.
Yeah. And a lot of people in Canada are very upset at this because their data caps did not expand,
mm-hmm.
Even though they have Netflix. So if you have like a 100 gig limit or less than that, you mm-hmm. would burn through that in a heartbeat using Netflix.
Netflix.
So they're kind of like, thanks, but no thanks.
No thanks. Yeah. Another place in which people might be saying thanks but no thanks is Facebook. The, what was it, National Customer Service and Satisfaction Company or something? Some company did a survey.
One of those survey companies that calls you on the phone and bothers you during dinner that you've never heard of before that collects your information.
Exactly. They did a survey about various consumer products and services, some of which are on the internet, some not. Among them were MySpace, Wikipedia, YouTube, and Facebook. And apparently, almost everyone surveyed about Facebook hated it, but they still used it. They ascribed their quote-unquote hatred, the company's word, not the user's word, to a variety of factors, including privacy concerns, instability, frequent website changes, the security issues, and other things. But the article I read was kind of like, well, so what? They're going to still come back to it and keep using it. And maybe they don't really hate it. Maybe they're just concerns about it. And so what does this actually mean? Probably absolutely nothing. So because it probably means absolutely nothing, we decided to point it out.
Well, I mean, everybody is on Facebook, mm-hmm. which actually has hit 500 million subscribers. They claim that that's actually unique visitors.
Yeah, they claim.
To their website. I have four accounts.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I'm counted four times. They've hit their 500 millionth, which is a huge population. But when you think about it, a lot of people are on Facebook just because everybody else is on Facebook. I've got a personal Facebook account, but I've only got it because, well, just to check out people from high school.
Right, right.
So I'm on it just by fact that it's there.
Exactly.
But I don't ever post to it.
And a lot of people are that way, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving from Facebook to other whimsy and general pointlessness, a teenager who is 15 traded over the past couple years on Craigslist an iPhone and received, at the end of all this trading, a Porsche. In other words, he started out with an old iPhone he didn't want. He traded it, or an old cell phone he didn't want, traded it for an iPod Touch, I believe. I don't think it was an iPhone. Then he got an iPhone. Then somewhere down the line, he got in a car. And then he traded that car for a Porsche from 2000. And now he's trying to trade the Porsche for a better car so that when he's 16, he'll have something drivable.
Couldn't have been a great car.
No, it had to have been a falling apart car. But somehow, I guess he traded something, made it sound better than it was, got something else, made it sound better than it was, got something else, and it just kind of built up. Now, people ask him if he is going to be the next con man, but he claims that this happens all the time, and he wanted to see how far he could take it. And yeah, I mean, I have heard of this kind of thing. It's pretty familiar.
I think some college or high school kids did this back in the 90s, where they traded things from one person to the next person until they kept getting bigger and bigger things. It kind of almost reminds me of the Pay It Forward movie with Helen Hunt, Kevin Spacey, and the kid, Haley Joel Osment, back from like 98 or 99, somewhere in there. Where they did one good deed, and then three people do a good deed, and then three
and
more
just
people,
spreads.
And it sort of spreads along.
Mm-hmm. So it is similar to that, yeah.
Yeah, so. What were you thinking?
Cell phone thieves, beware. If you steal a cell phone, beware that it might have GPS tracking your every move.
And you might want to try a different city besides San Francisco.
Yeah, a woman was demonstrating a GPS navigational app for the iPhone, and she was demonstrating it to the police. And this guy, I guess he was a bike messenger or something, drove by on his little motorcycle, snatched the iPhone from her hand, that's what he claims anyway, in view of a whole bunch of people, and zoomed off. Needless to say, it didn't take police long to catch him because this GPS app was running and tracking his every turn.
Yeah, they didn't even need the back to your Mac or anything because everybody in the building was watching from the windows above and everything. So
yeah. So if you're going to do something like that, you want to steal somebody's
fancy
equipment.
Might want to try like South Dakota, maybe.
Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah, that'd work too.
Yeah. Anyway.
A Big Bang reference for you if you did not figure that out.
Yeah. Anyway, small towns better than big cities for stealing high-tech gear. So, this mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly, episode 53.
Yes. Very much so.
Yes.
And you can find our bookmarks and stories considered for this show, including ones that we did not cover, at delicious.com/techaccess/53.
Incidentally, if you have not already done so, please go to our website and fill out our PodTrack survey. We would greatly appreciate it if you subscribe to the podcast. We would like to know a little bit more about you in general terms.
And all information is anonymous and confidential.
It just tells us what you like or don't like, a general geographical area that you come from, and similar things like that.
Yeah. And please be sure to check out the daily tips, which you can find at bit.ly/TADaily, or visit techaccessweekly.com for the actual shows that you can download from the page. And you can also find the Melting Pot show from Mushroom FM. The archives are up and on there. We still have a couple of shows that we need to update. And if you just want to get to the feed itself to subscribe, you can go to bit.ly/Melting Pot feed.
Not show.
Show will melting take you to feed. The Mushroom FM page.
Yeah, my Mushroom FM poor Lee webpage. And I would encourage you to check out the other shows on Mushroom FM. Subscribe to the podcast feed. If you only want to subscribe to my podcast, that's okay too. You can do that through Mushroom FM's website. And or subscribe to other people's shows. Or even better, listen to them live. Because there is some really good talent over there.
And
the last request we have is that if you have any experiences from ACB or NFB 10 that you would like to share with us, whether it is by email, by Twitter, or if you want to arrange a Skype chat, we are giving 1 week notice, and by next week at this time, we will have done with that. So if you would like to share something with us, you have 1 week.
Yep, we've had technical difficulties, travel issues, and sickness that sort of delayed our previous plans. Mm-hmm. If you did not attend either one of the conferences, but you followed some of the webinars or Twitter conversations and such, we would also like to hear from you mm-hmm. as well.
So you can either email us, techaccessweekly@gmail.com, put a comment up on our website.
Or tweet us.
Or tweet us with Twitter, with TA_weekly.
Yeah, I like when you talk Southern.
Yeah. Or if you want to get real geeky and have a Skype chat with us, feel free to let us know and we can set that up. But we would like to get this straightened out and taken care of because this is hanging over our heads and I'd like to get it done because it's getting old.
Yeah.
And part of that's our fault.
Well, and we've been trying to digest some of the information and come up with new things that we hadn't previously discussed, like software and hardware and updates and things. So we're going to try and do that next week.
Exactly.
And this mess is techaccessweekly.com that you are listening to.
Yes, indeed. And we will see you in another Daily Tip. And for our regular episode, we will see you back here next week.
Yes, we will. Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.